This podcast is dedicated to Virginia State Trooper Andrew David Fox. End of watch, October 5th, 2012. Rest in peace, brother. Heroes live forever. Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. All right, this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 164. It's the week of October 13th, 2012, which means it's marathon week. Baltimore Marathon is on October 13th, and right now I'm headed up to Maryland. Actually, I'm in Maryland now. Headed up to my good friend Jim's place. I also call him Lummix, and we're going to be running the marathon together tomorrow. We're going to, on the 13th, we're also going to be hooking up with a friend of his that I believe lives near him up there named Jim, another guy named Jim, who's an ultramarathoner. I have not met him before, but I think he's a finisher of the Vermont 100, sub 24 hours. And so I'm looking forward to meeting him. And the plan is really for all three of us, I guess, to run together. Looks like perfect weather. Looks like a high of low 60s, so, which means perfect conditions at the start, probably in the low 40s. Somewhat sunny skies, I guess partly sunny. Really couldn't ask for much better conditions than that. So I'm very excited, and we'll kind of see what happens. The plan today is, first of all, I got to arrive safely, and then we're going to, I guess, go get some lunch and load up with lots of energy, lots of food, and hit the expo, which is at the, I guess it's called M&T Bank Stadium, which is where the Ravens play. And probably hang around there for a little while. I got to make sure I get him a 26.2 sticker so I can give that to him after we finish. And I'm going to try to get it where he doesn't see me getting it. And then I don't know how much time we'll spend at the expo. I think he wants to walk around a little bit, kind of take in the experience. And I do too. I ran this race back 2007. It was my second marathon in 2007. And I remember going to the expo. It was a whole different. That was a different experience. Only had the experience of one marathon under my belt. We had went up to Baltimore with a large group. I think my wife ran in the relay with three other ladies. Another friend was running the half. Two other people I knew were running the half marathon. I think we left all the kids at home, but the. There was lots of couples, so I can't remember what we did for dinner. I don't even remember, but I remember it was a lot of coordinating and whatnot, and it was fun. We had a real good time, but boy, I'm coming back with a lot more experience this time around, being that this is my 21st marathon. I've been there and done that many times over, but the best thing about the marathon, at least for me, is it is a new experience each time, and this time I have the privilege of running with somebody who's going to be doing their first marathon, which is something I've only done once before. And it was a very rewarding experience. If you've listened to the podcast for some time now, you remember Team Doom, which was born a couple of years ago, kind of a local, separate from Team Incognito. This was just a local group in Ashland that we put together. We all trained and ran the Shamrock Marathon in the Virginia Beach area. We trained in the heat, we trained in the snow, and then on come marathon day, we had perfect conditions again. A little windy, but we all ran it together. And on that day, Ashlyn Bob and Meriwether, two good friends, finished their first marathon, and that was just really cool. Bob's gone on to run, I think, two more, and I do not know if Meriwether has gone to run a second one or third one or not. I cannot remember. Don't train with her anymore, only because she is getting an advanced degree and very, very busy with schoolwork, plus three kids. Very busy, and she works. So I don't really know where her training's at. I usually just see her in the carpool line. All right, so that's the plan, is get up here, check out the expo, and just kind of take it all in and not be in a rush. The information for the race has been really good. All the emails and information packet and stuff that they've done has been very informative. No issues, no problems. It's a well-put-together event. It's the, I guess they call it the Baltimore Running Festival. There's a, of course, a half marathon and I think a 5K, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, we're just doing the marathon, and I think it's capped at 5,000 runners. Half marathon, I think, is capped at 10,000 or something like that. So it's a pretty big event. So what we'll do is we'll do an interview with Lummix, which is something I've been talking about for several shows now, being that I'll be with him in person. And we're going to be, I guess, having a meal, probably a couple cold adult beverages, some cold beers. We will definitely have some time to talk about his training, what he expects on marathon day, and other good little sound bites for the podcast. So, all right, we're still headed up there, me, myself, and I. And we'll get up to Jim's here in a little bit. Jim's getting his marathon bib.
My safety pins.
Your safety pins.
So the timing chip's already on the back, so you don't need to remove it.
Okay, great.
And then the t-shirt pickup is just past the vendors on your way.
Hopefully there's a pair of balls on the back of this thing.
All right. Somewhere. Hey, how you doing? 1321?
On your back.
Here you go.
All right.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're finally sitting here with Lummix. We're at the Adams Rib North and what is this, Glen Burnie Gym?
Saverna Park.
Saverna Park. We just had our two Guinness delivered to the table with a Miller Lite and a bottle chaser. So we've already been to the expo, got our bibs. What did you think of the expo, Jim?
The expo was nice. It was, I'm a bit nervous, of course. I swore I wasn't going to drink any beer today, but you show up, I'm on my third one, so hopefully it won't have any effect on my performance tomorrow.
Well, it won't have a as long as you stop drinking when I tell you to stop, I guess you'll be fine. Now in Saverna Park, that's called Adams Rib North, and the Baltimore Orioles are playing on TV, so this place is really packed, and we're lucky that we got a table. We're just going to talk a little bit about some pre-race stuff. So, Jim, why don't you talk a little bit about, just kind of summarize a little bit of your training that led you up to the marathon, and then we'll get into why you want to run the marathon in the first place. Tell me a little bit about your training that you've been doing over the last couple of months.
Well, I took the off of this website called Marathon Rookie, and there was a 16-week course that I decided to do, and this will be my fourth official race. So I think it's a little bit of a lofty goal for a fourth race. I haven't run a lot of races. I've only been running a couple of years, but I followed the training regimen to about the letter, which maxed out at 20 miles. My previous 16 miles at a fat ass race in January.
Well, let me ask you. You said you've been running just for a couple of years. I remember when we were in college. I don't think you did any running at all. When did you actually start running, and what made you decide? I guess we're kind of going into the next question. What kind of made you want to decide to start doing that? I mean, now that you're in your early 40s.
Yeah, that was probably the main trigger, is hitting 40 and not wanting to change my lifestyle of fried chicken and. A quote on one of your podcasts, which I listen to regularly, you said something about beer being at the end of a race. You said, it's not that I like beer so much, and you said, but I do. And I like beer too, and I like bad food, and I started running just to compensate for that a little bit and make myself feel a little bit better. And then I got really bored just running 2 or 3 miles when I maxed out. I did a 5K. Same way I'm thinking about the marathon tomorrow. That was only a few years ago. So that's really why I started running. Just I hit 40. I wasn't heavy. heavy or anything, but I was just feeling like crap, and I said, I shouldn't be feeling like this at 40 years old, so I started doing something about it, and as I ran 2 miles, I just wanted to run more.
Well, I think we were gonna run the Annapolis 10-miler together a couple years ago. I know we both signed up, and then I can't remember the name of the hurricane that came through. I guess y'all got hit harder than we did up in...
That was Irene, I think.
Irene.
Yeah.
Neither one of us were able to do that race because they canceled it, but didn't that trigger you doing your first half marathon shortly thereafter?
Right. I had trained religiously for the 10-miler and was training with another friend of mine that we're going to be running with tomorrow named Jim McClair, and he was going to run it with me, and Dave, you were going to run it with me too.
Right.
We were going to come up, but the hurricane canceled, so you couldn't make it, and of course, I didn't make it, and I didn't run that day, but I did end up running the 10-miler after I picked up my premium. I figured I wouldn't burn the premium unless I just do the 10-miler, so I ran it anyway and then signed up for the half marathon, which was a few weeks later.
So you ran the course anyway?
Yeah.
That day?
No, not the day I picked up my premium, which was about a week or two later. Actually, I picked up your premium, too.
Right, I remember you mailed it to me. Appreciated that. I think I have to write did not start on or race canceled, so I'm allowed to wear it. There's certain rules that if you didn't run a race, you can't wear the thing unless you, I think, volunteered at it or approved somebody. Or, you know, there are people that adhere real strict to t-shirt rules. I think the whole thing's kind of funny. But what obstacles did you encounter during the training? I mean, training for a marathon is such a huge monumental thing. I mean, you had these runs where you're out there for several hours. I remember you said that you had a problem with the 18-miler or the 16-miler. Something happened. What obstacles did you run into with some of the longer training runs when you were kind of covering new ground and, you know, anything weird happened to your body you didn't anticipate?
I think physically the biggest challenge that I hope I learned to manage is thirst. And we, as you know, as you're well aware, it was hot during some of our training. And I found myself hitting a wall of thirst that I couldn't overcome around miles 12 to 15. And so that was kind of discouraging to me because I thought, how am I going to manage this during the race?
Right.
Of course, things change when it cooled off a little bit, but that was probably my biggest challenge was the thirst. I didn't get a lot of pain. I didn't have a lot of blister issues or anything like that, but just getting over that monumental thirst that I encountered.
So you were thirsty?
Yeah, yeah. And once I started drinking, I knew I couldn't drink too much, but there was a couple races where I had to really slow down a lot.
Did you use anything other than just water? Did you drink Gatorade, or did you do some kind of other sports drink? What did you use for fueling?
I did the noon tabs, and I started fueling with the noon tabs, and I started trying to be a little bit more regimented with how much and when I drank. And I also started using the goos and stuff as well. And for my 20-mile run, I just did a little research and learned from some of the running blogs and stuff that a goo every 5 miles was good. So that's what I did, goo every 5 miles, and a water bottle every 5 miles.
So you're going to carry 5 goos tomorrow for the Baltimore Marathon, is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about the morning of when you did the really long runs? I'm talking 16, you know, over 16 or over, when you're out there for, you know, verge of 3 hours at least. What kind of, did you eat breakfast in the morning? Did you just get up and run? Did you drink water? What would you do
to
prepare?
Since my lifestyle's kind of screwed up, my wife and I usually don't eat dinner until 9 or 10 at night during the work night, and we're kind of busy during the day, so I kind of kept to that schedule. I'd eat dinner around 9 or 10 on a Friday night, and I just wake up around 11 or noon and start running, so I usually didn't have anything to eat. And one thing that helped me overcome that thirst problem that I previously mentioned was cutting coffee out of my morning regimen. I drank 2 cups of coffee before I went running.
Huh.
And I think that was really, I guess the caffeine was messing me up. But, so normally that's all I would do is drink a couple cups of coffee before I went running, and then I would snack on the way.
Did you end up getting a headache later because you didn't have the coffee until later in the day?
No. No, I didn't have a headache problem. I had other pains to worry about after the runs.
So even in the heat of the summer, when it was, I know it was close, you know, got up in the mid-90s up here in Maryland, you weren't starting your long runs until 11 o'clock.
Right.
And you know, I was usually done for at least an hour by then.
I know. I'm a lackadaisical runner.
I'm a little worried you're not going to get up early enough tomorrow.
Yeah. I'll get up early tomorrow. I get up early for the races, but it's, for the few races I've been in.
You've done some half marathons. You've earned your right to the starting line. Now, your longest training run was, what, 21 miles?
Yeah, a little over 20 miles.
I'll edit that part out.
Yeah.
That's easy to do. So what was your longest training run? I think it was just over 20 miles, was it not?
Right. It was probably about 20 and a half, I'd say. I just wanted to get over that 20-mile mark just for psychological reasons. And it was pretty rough, but I broke it up into stages using my house as an aid station and just did stages from there without having to stop. And the 20th mile, I wasn't completely exhausted, so I was a little tight.
Right.
There's a tight feeling in the legs and the arms that I had to loosen up a little bit.
I remember after my first marathon, my biceps were sore. Oh, my shoulders were sore the next day and then the following Monday. And I think it's because I was clenched in this position, the right position. Now I remember to shake my shoulders out a lot because they were very sore.
That's what I started doing. I just dropped my hands down to my side. And I'm also running with a 22-ounce water bottle. And the day that I did the 20-miler, I filled it up 5 times. So I'm not breaking any records. It took me 4 hours to do the 20 miles.
The whole point is to cross the finish line upright and be able to function later because we're not going to win any money, so there's no sense being a martyr.
Right.
Now, what's your biggest worry about tomorrow? I mean, I know you're nervous. You told me that you're nervous. We've been running around the Baltimore area today. You know, you seem like you're the same person I've known for 20-some years. But what's your biggest fear for tomorrow?
My biggest fear is certainly not finishing. Like you said, I just want to finish upright. And I think I told you my main goal is just not pooping myself, really. I really want to keep clean shorts when I cross the finish line.
That would definitely be something that hopefully it will not happen.
Yeah. So I'm hoping to avoid that. But yeah, just the fear of not finishing is there because I know what it feels like to hit 20. And when I hit that 20, I said I've got 6 more miles. But
6.2.
6.2, right.
Because you're not done at the 26-mile mark.
Right. But tomorrow's kind of like, it reminds me of tests in school. I really wish I had another week or two to prepare.
$10,000 test?
Yeah. I really wish I had more time to prepare. It's only been 16 weeks. It feels like I just started running yesterday. I'm thinking, man, I could use another 5 weeks to train. So there's a little bit of fear on that level as well. Part of me thinks, should I be running a marathon right now? I've only been running for a couple of years.
The most important thing is just don't embarrass me.
Right.
Embarrass Jim.
Yeah, you're my main priority.
All right, we'll talk again at the start line. Let's have a few cold ones here. All right, it's a lot quieter now. It's O-Dark 30. We're getting ready to head out for the starting line. And what do you think, Jim? It's kind of like your wedding day. No turning back, right?
Yeah, like you said, it's quiet. Kind of nervous right now. Knowing that, this is it.
This is what you're training.
Yeah.
You're training. This is what is going to make all that worth it on those hot days.
Yeah, hopefully I won't see any dark places along the way. And looking forward to seeing I love the city of Baltimore. So I was thinking about it last night when I went to bed. I'm hoping to see a lot of things that I haven't seen. And just think of it as a 26.2 mile exploration.
Well, after the first couple miles, it goes through to the zoo.
Yeah.
And then, let's see here at the course map. Of course, we've looked at plenty. We haven't memorized any of it. Goes to the zoo.
And then it goes down through Under Armour headquarters, of course. They're sponsoring the race. And then what? What's that right there? Is that?
It goes through an area called Locust Point, which is where the Under Armour is, and then through Fells Point, up around Fells Point.
And that's near the Inner Harbor, right?
Yeah, yeah. You go all the way around the Inner Harbor, right past my old office building.
Well, at least we're going to have good weather. We've got 46 degrees in Baltimore right now. It's going to be in the upper 50s today. Plenty of, the only problem might be the sunshine, but I think everything will be fine. And our ride should be here in just a few minutes, so we'll check in again at the starting line. We don't need to talk about what you're getting ready to do, so.
The last 10K is basically downhill.
Downhill.
So if you can get that mindset that you're on a PR, personal record.
Oh.
So if you get your mindset that it's a 22-mile run, if you get around that lake at the end,
right,
through the neighborhood, then you somehow find that extra energy once you get to mile 22. Instead of crashing, you get the energy to say, all right.
I think that when you say the neighborhood, you're talking about the that real nice neighborhood where they're all hanging out outside on the street.
Is that rock
stuff? Yeah,
that,
people are jumping around in costumes a little sometimes.
Yeah, some lady came out and tried to give me some applesauce and she didn't have any teeth.
Oh, no, not that neighborhood.
It was weird. Maybe that was earlier in the race.
That's earlier in the race. This is more like the students for Johns Hopkins.
Oh, gotcha.
And stuff like that. I ran the marathon earlier this year. So now I can say I think I know Oakland just from running 26 miles around Oakland. Like people say, have you been to the park? I'm like, well, I round it. Did you run up in the hills? Well, or did you see the park? Yeah, I've been around there too. How about Berkeley? Yep, went around that too.
Yeah, you see a lot more of a city on foot if you're paying attention and looking up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's sometimes, that's the good advice, Jim, for a first timer, is that don't forget to look up and enjoy the scenery. It's hard to after a while because you get in a weird mental place. If you do, I mean, not everybody does, but...
We ran 2 weeks ago. We ran the Wine Glass Marathon in Finger Lake, Corning.
Exactly. Corning, yeah, okay.
If you want to do a PR, that's a place to do PR. It's almost all downhill. The weather's perfect. It was like started at 44, ended up at 55 or something. And even if you get wind to your back at some point, I wasn't even expected to do. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I ended up running. I ran out of like a 316.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
I wasn't even planning on close, but it was just such a nice weather. But that's a course where you either run a PR or a PW. PW is personal work.
Yeah.
Because it's so pretty. People are always like. I don't know if they still do. I haven't gotten in a while. They used to have a yearly edition where they put all the sub-24s and all this, like the timing.
Yeah, the people that did the fastest ones, they've done that at least since I've subscribed.
So when I did it, there was less than 200 runners that have broke 22 hours.
Oh, okay.
Now it's like, there's probably like 500.
Yeah, I won't
when
be on
I
that
did
list.
It was like,
looking for the starting line.
Last minute thoughts. As I said,
we're following you, Jim.
Just realized I'm going to be coming back here in a very different physical and mental state 5 hours from now.
Well, at least you got to see what the finishing shoot is.
Yeah.
And now we're going to look for the 5-hour pace guy. You want to just start there? I'm still nervous? Well, we're here now. You're amongst friends.
Yeah.
A lot of crazy people out here.
Because I'm feeling good, I'm fearful.
That's It's okay to feel good. Hey, we gotta make room for the bad feelings.
I got little pains here and there, and I'm thinking, you know, I hope that doesn't escalate, but it's somehow controllable.
It's like perpetual sirens down here.
Yeah, well, I'm hearing that. It's
Charm City.
Charm City. That's where the wires go.
All right, man, to your left.
Thank you.
I was out for the count.
To go down.
All right, Jim, we're at the halfway, almost. What do you think so far? How are you feeling?
Feeling okay. Got a little,
a 223
in the left foot.
A little soreness.
Kind of wacky, maybe a little high spot. I'm looking at a 224.
Half marathon split, something like that.
So, I feel like I'm running a little fast.
Yeah, doing great, man. I mean, you feel good?
Yeah.
Mentally?
Mentally, I feel great. Just got to keep my legs working. Keep my bowels in the right place.
Well, the key is to find a porta john if your bowels are gonna loosen up.
I don't see that happen.
Instead of making a mess of yourself and embarrassing me.
No, I don't see that happen.
You don't see that happen.
There's a lot of beer to be drunk, and I don't want to have to worry about cleaning myself up.
Well, I do have an extra pair of pants at the end. Is this it? Is there a chip man at the split? There it is, I see it.
Oh, is that the split?
Yeah. Alright, so our split's gonna be about 224.20, which isn't bad. It's pretty much right on track for our goal time, as long as we don't slow down too much. And there it is right there, 224.30. Well done, man. Woo! Alright, we are getting close to 16 here. Put 254 in. Got a little Guns N' Roses or Bon Jovi? I can't even think straight. Who sings this song? Bon Jovi. How you doing, man? All right. This is cool. Woo! Hey, man, there's a lot of people out here. All right, we're at the 20-mile split, 344.28. Check on Jim. Same thing with Jim. All right, brother, 20 miles.
This is it. This is where we got to get around this lake.
How you doing, brother? Still there? How you doing mentally?
Really good.
Really good or not really good?
No, very good.
Very good, okay.
There's just one thing about
really good.
What's that?
Pushing hard, we didn't push
it. Look at these little stomach pains.
Oh, little stomach pains? Yeah. I don't know, it's about 0.6 to go. How you doing? You getting worse for the podcast? Or you want me to be quiet?
Feeling all right. Definitely feeling it.
Hey, they're preaching.
That's good.
Hoping I don't vomit.
They're over there preaching.
Hey, Jim, you got a half mile left.
You got to put it on right now.
30 seconds.
Go. Go, come on. 25 seconds. Come on. Come on. Come on, man. You got it. Come on. 15 seconds. 10 seconds. Come on.
Out.
All right, Lomax, we're done. What do you think?
Oh.
Oh, God, I'm still gagging.
I just told you a little bit ago, I'm hurting so bad, it's making me laugh, because I can't do anything else about it. What an experience. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's...
That last couple miles.
Brutal.
That's an ass kicker.
Yeah.
I mean, you can walk it, but...
Yeah, but you're not... Yeah, you could walk the whole thing if you wanted to.
Yeah, but, oh, man.
That's not the point.
Yeah, you feel it, that's for sure.
All right, we finally got our cold beers, and we are now sitting in the middle of a parking lot. And I don't think we're going to get up for about 20 minutes. Jim and his wife went back over to get us a couple more adult beverages, and had a real good experience. The finishing time was really a secondary thing to just coming out here and covering the distance and having a great time, and I couldn't be prouder. My friend Lummix did a great job, ran his first marathon. Gorgeous day, real good finishing area, finish festival, and he just wanted to go get another beer and just hang out for a while, because he's just really enjoying the atmosphere and kind of that euphoria of being a finisher. You know, funny thing is, I'm watching a guy smoke who's got a race bib on. He's over smoking a cigarette. He doesn't have a marathon bib on. He's got one of the purple ones, which I think is the half marathon. Hey, is the purple bib the half marathon? Is the purple bib the half marathon?
Yeah.
You did half, okay. Well, I think the reason is I saw a guy over there smoking. I was just curious what race he did.
Because you aren't affiliated with the police department, are you?
I am back in
Virginia. Oh, not Maryland? I'm looking
not
for
Maryland.
The three teams that were running today.
Oh, no, not me. I'm just waiting for some friends to come back. All right, take care. Oh, yeah, almost busted there. So the guy, I'm watching a guy that's smoking that did the half marathon, so whatever. Anyway, man, if you do marathons and you haven't done Baltimore, they got a great after race atmosphere. They really do. It's a hilly course, but I really did like it. It's my second time doing it, which I've already said. But I had fun, and that's really the absolute bottom line is having fun, and that's what life's all about, having fun and, I guess, taking care of your responsibilities. So hopefully they'll be back soon with my beer. All right, so that was the Baltimore Marathon report. Great time. For my perspective, that day was all about going to bat for a friend who was doing his first marathon. And it wasn't about me. It was definitely about being with him and getting him to the finish line. And he never wanted to give up. He slowed down, but he didn't give up. We just kept plugging away at it. A couple things just to take away from the race. Personally, I really liked the Halloween candy out on the route, the candy corns, and I really liked the potato chips. I probably had 3 bags of potato chips. At the beginning of the race, they had a guy out there with donut munchkins, which were really good. And in hindsight, I wish I had taken more than one. I ate just one. I probably should have had about 3 or 4. They had good food out there, you know, just the junk food, the stuff you need to stuff down while you're running. I had taken some goose, but for some reason, I just got really hungry and was looking for that out there. The guy, Jim, that we were running with, after the munchkins, he had said something about how the next stop had pizza, and I didn't know he was kidding at the time, but I just kept focusing on the pizza, and the pizza was never there. In fact, the pizza was never there. I think it might have been at the end, but you might have had to buy it. I guess they had the runner's food, and then they had some other food vendors for the people that were showing up to support the runner. Beer at the end, they kind of messed up a little bit with the beer tickets. The beer tickets were apparently in the runner's section, that you had to get the tickets before you left the runner's area, and then you go over to the beer truck. And these things were not close together at all, and you weren't allowed back in the runner's area once you left. So we missed the beer tickets altogether and ended up spending a couple dollars for each beer, which wasn't really that bad. Jim Lummix's wife brought my wallet, so I had money, and I think Jim bought me a beer. We weren't really that worried about that, but, you know, we did pay for the marathon, and a part of that includes beer tickets. They should have had the beer tickets in a much more recognizable area. I don't remember that being a problem whatsoever when I ran the race back in 2007. So that part was a little disappointing, but I'll know better for next time if I ever run that race again, because believe me, I will not make mistakes again about beer tickets. All right, well, that's the Baltimore Marathon report. I will have a Colonial 200 report coming up at some point, and I'm very excited because I've already got an interview scheduled with Sandy about her 100-miler effort, and we'll be doing that over Skype, so I'll do a little audio check, and that will be in either the next episode or the one after that, because we have that interview scheduled and on the calendar, and it's no more just talking about it. All right, let's get into the email bag section of the show, which is always the best part. All right, heard from Matt out of, let's see, where is he out of? I think he's out of Texas. And he wants the video, and what I'm going to do is, Matt, for some reason what happened was I just got a little, behind. Matt's out of Austin, and what happened was I did not pay much attention to all the emails I got for the show, and I just put them in a folder, and then I finally got to them, and so you're well overdue. Your request came in September 22nd, so I'll get you a copy of the Graveyard DVD. And Matt also had a question about the iTunes. The question was, he wanted to know where some of the other podcasts were. I think that was his question, and because he said iTunes only had so much. And so what I explained to him is iTunes Store, when it comes to podcasts, just serves as a phone book for podcasts. In other words, you go to iTunes, you look up the podcast you want to listen to, and you click on it, and then it actually goes to the host that's holding that podcast, and you can listen to it through iTunes or through the phone book. So in other words, the iTunes is like a phone book where you go out, you look up the number, and you dial the number, and you get what you need. The actual data is not held by iTunes. They run a what's called an RSS feed to whatever server or host holds the data. And I think what happens is iTunes probably has a cutoff for how many they'll hold, how many entries they'll hold. So if you want older episodes of the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, you can go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and search way back. I think they go back about a year or so. And then if you want to listen to episodes even longer than that, I mean, I've got 164, well, this is episode 164, you can email me directly, and what we'll do is we'll figure out a way to do a file transfer out to you. Either I'll burn them to CD, or we'll set up a time to connect on Skype, and I can send the data to you that way. I have burned some to CD for some people who requested them, but be honest with you, it was kind of time-consuming, and I didn't want the listener to wait that long, so I think I'll look for an easier time to do it. So anyway, Matt, good to hear from you, and thanks for the email. Thanks for listening to the show. I really do appreciate that. I heard from Neil, and he's got the blog over at tk42one.blogspot.com, and he said I did a shout out onto him pretty good, and he had done a comment on the pod, the website over at ashlanddave.podme.com, and Neil has got a 100-miler or 100K coming up not too far into the future. Heard from Dr. Smitty, and anyway, I can't remember what our discussion was, but he is thinking about doing the IC8 sometime. It's something that we had talked about, and he had, for some reason, Greg had thought I had done the Prince William 12-hour race in Prince William Forest, which was up in Prince William County. And no, that was a guy named Neil, and that's Neil off of that blog I just mentioned. So, Doctor, that email probably makes no sense except to Dr. Smitty. So, sorry about that, Greg. I was a little confused. So, anyway, talking about got another one here on the website from Dr. Smitty, and this is about the nip guards. And he said the duct tape works great. He said the key is to take it off right after the run, so the adhesive is still gooey from the body heat. And he said a $2 roll will last him years. And I'm pretty sure your chest is pretty as hairy as mine. Greg, you know what? Everybody's got their own opinion. And for some reason, I just like the nip guards. I know they're more expensive, and I know I'm probably kind of foolish to buy them. But they just seem to work. But I tell you what worked good at one point in time was the large waterproof Band-Aids. They actually worked just as good as the nip guards, but for some reason, I can't find them in my local store right now. And just because you sent me that message, Greg, I am going to try out the duct tape because I do have plenty of that. And as you know, I've used that on my feet. So anyway, thanks for that, Greg. As always, thanks for being a loyal listener to the show. Really do appreciate it. Just he commented again about the Colonial 200, which I want to save that for a different podcast because that was a pretty fun time. Heard from Scott. He said he's a longtime listener to the podcast and does a fantastic job hearing the stories from a fellow runner. He said he does mostly triathlons now, and he was at the Colonial 200, and I think I might have actually run into him at the race, and he just doesn't know it yet. So I'll do that in the Scott. You might remember I think I asked you if you're from Sea Slugs. I don't know if you remember seeing me near one of the bathrooms at one of the churches in the middle of the night. I know that sounds kind of strange. But he was from one of the other teams there. And Scott, what I'll do is I'll save your email and respond to that when I do the Colonial 200. Heard from David Williams, and this is the Virginia David Williams. He was one of the volunteers at one of the exchange points with my wife at the Colonial 200. He said he had a great time doing that. And David, I really do appreciate that very much. Shout out to Neil Richard. He is doing the Oil Creek 100K this coming Saturday at 6 a.m. Well done, Neil. And I kind of want to hear about that. I'll be checking out your blog. He's trying to do it under 24 hours. The cutoff is 31 hours, and that's up near Pittsburgh. So all the best to you, Neil, on that. And Sandy got emails from her. We are set up for Wednesday. Looking forward to that. And, of course, I also got an email from the other David Williams, who's down under. And he's unfortunately, he has succumbed to a hamstring injury, and he's very restricted right now to just an hour run each day. But he's got a marathon in January, and as well as an ultra or two fall of next year. So right now it looks real dark and gloomy for him, he said, but he's been assured all by other experts that there's light around the corner. And yes, David, I agree. Patience is a virtue. So all the best with your recovery on that, and I do appreciate you listening to the show. And I got one last, I don't have an email from him, but you know, anybody know what happened to Richard Yarp? Richard Yarp, a longtime listener, original listener from the very beginning back in 2008, I think, when I started the show. I can't remember when I started the podcast. No, I don't think it was that far back. I can't really remember. I think it was. Anyway, haven't heard from him in a while. So if anybody knows Richard down in the Woodlands, Texas, or has any contact with him, let me know at ashlanddave@gmail.com. Let me know if he's doing okay, because think about him from time to time, because there's a high chance that I might actually cross paths with him down in Texas, because I like to do a race down there, being that I have a friend that lives in Dallas and a friend that lives in Austin. So the friend that lives in Austin is doing the New York City Marathon for his first. So there's a big chance that I'll end up in Texas doing something at some point, Richard. So if you listen, if you're still listening, give me an email. Let me know how you're doing. Well, that's it for the podcast this week. I'd like to thank you for listening. I always think it's fun to talk about marathons, and that's, you know, one of the things, that's what the podcast is all about, is talking about distance running and just kind of celebrating ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And if you're a regular listener to the show, then you know that I kind of use the moniker regular, ordinary, middle of the pack, nobody. When ordinary people do some extraordinary things, I always think it's worth the time to stop and talk about it and recognize it. So for this show, it's Lummix. He gets the prize for doing something extraordinary, finishing his first marathon, and hopefully that will springboard him into a second marathon where he tries to improve his time, and that way he can learn and build on the experience. If you want to email me, you can send me a message at ashlanddave@gmail.com. That's ashlanddave. You can also hit me on the website at ashlanddave.podbean.com. I'm not on Twitter regularly, and I don't have anything going on Facebook in reference to the podcast. It's just too much for me to keep up with. It's easier just to handle it through the email. And I'm still offering the DVD. The Graveyard 100 DVD, which was from an ultra I did back in March. And the reason I offer that out there is for two reasons. One is to raise money for the Ashland Christian Emergency Services organization here in Ashland, which we call ACES. And then the second reason is to give people an opportunity to check out what the Graveyard 100 is from the eye of a camera, in case you've ever considered doing that. And that's a March ultra in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, point to point. Along the coast, and it's either 100 miles or 100K. It's a pretty good event. I did it last year. And all I do is I send you the DVD I've made of that, which is about 35 minutes long, and then I just send you some information if you want to send a donation to this charity. You don't have to. It's all on you. But I have found that distance and endurance runners are pretty honest people. So, that's up to you. Or I can send you the DVD, and you can absolutely send no donation. I mean, I'm not going to know. I don't call over to the place and see who sent anything. But I do know that between the Sterling Gym DVD that I offered out a couple years ago and then this one, I've raised, I think, close to $1,000 for this charity. And that's just from word of mouth that I've heard. So I think it's a wonderful thing. And it all happens because people are
generous with their donation. Okay, this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.